do better this year than what I did this last past year. I'm sure many of us are guilty of it ourselves, of making commitments. I even said to my wife this year, leading up to New Year's, I said, you know what? This year, I'm not going to make a commitment. I'm not going to do anything like that because they just fail. But she reminded me that by doing that, I still am making a commitment. I'm making a commitment not to make a commitment. So caught myself in a catch-22 there. But millions of people, they make this commitment to do something in their life to either eat healthier. That's the number one thing according to statistics in the world that they've done on studies is people want to be healthier. It's the number one item. They want to spend more time with their family, we've all said, or depending on who your family is, maybe spend less time with your family. That, you know, just I won't get into that. But we make commitments to work more overtime maybe so we can get bills paid off and get out of debt a little bit. Or maybe we make commitments to work less. That way we can spend more time with our families. We make commitments to go back to school so we can get an education, to get a better job, to take care of our families. That's something I'm currently doing now. I'm going back to school while working full time, and it is hard. Tell you what, I wish I would have did it a long time ago when I was younger and had the time to do it. But it's a commitment that we make because we want to better ourselves. Or maybe it's a spiritual commitment where we want to pray more. We want to give more to God. We want to read our Bible more than what we do each week. We want to get closer to God and teach more Bible studies or just simply have a better relationship with God. Have we all made these commitments? We've all been there at some point in time. We want to just draw closer to God. Studies show that 42% of people that make their commitments actually follow through with those commitments. Only 42%. Out of that 42%, only half make it past a month in their commitment. That's just real life of what happens. We make those commitments, but we don't keep them very long. They don't last very long. And because we end up breaking those commitments, what happens? We end up depressed or frustrated with ourselves because we let ourselves down. We didn't meet our expectation of what we wanted to do, and we fell short so easily and so quickly. Amen? Any witnesses here? Is it just me? Amen? So change is hard. Change is hard. Plain and simple, it's hard. Someone once said, change is inevitable, misery is optional. So when we face change and things move in our lives, it's up to you whether you want to embrace it and get the best out of it or whether you want to allow it to make you miserable and have the wrong attitude about it. Amen? We have that option in our hands, changes. Whether you like it or not, things are going to change in your life. Some people imagine it is possible to live life without change, but even if you make an effort not to change something, something will happen. Someone will stroll along in your life unexpectedly, and they will change it for you. Amen? Just you may not even know it. They just may come in, and you got your life all perfect, everything all lined up, your ducks are in a row, they're all in the same pond, and they just come up and just mess it all up for no reason. And you're just like, and just before you know it, everything's changed, and you're just sitting there wondering, how did this happen? How did I get here? Because yesterday everything was great and dandy. Everything felt great yesterday. Everything looked good yesterday. And just within one time period, everything is just went crazy. It happens. There's crazy people out there that just like to make you crazy. Amen? Hopefully some of you aren't those crazy people. So we won't name any names. Amen? Don't raise your hand. But some people imagine it is possible to live life without change, but it's not possible. It's going to happen. It's out of your control. Someone else will always come along. So in order to live life, we must and will experience change. We have to accept that fact. Men and women have equal rights today in our time because something changed in our lives through history, through laws. People no longer die from something as simple like a common cold because something changed. They found new medicines. They found new ways to treat things. Something changed. We are creatures of habit because of change. We all have things we like in our perfect little world. I tell my wife all the time, I have my bubble. I want to stay inside my bubble. I don't like people interfering with my bubble. That's why I don't like going to crowded places, because too many people bump into my bubble. And then they try to get in my bubble, which just messes my bubble up, because I like my bubble. It's the way I want it. Amen? But people, they will interfere with it. So I have my bubble. I'll use myself as an example. I like the things that I like, and I don't like to change those things. I don't really like to be spontaneous a lot, because it just brings change and the unknown. And most people will resist this change at times, but we have to learn not to resist it. So I like to eat at the same places because I know the food is good. I know when I go there and I leave, I'm going to leave happy and fat, just plain and simple. So I like going to Fred's. There's no shortage of food. The food is good. I'm going to leave happy and most of the time hurting. Amen? I like knowing what's on the menu. I like going to the same store because I know where everything's at in that store. I can tell you about where anything is at Walmart because I've been there a lot of times. I will go to Walmart before I will go anywhere else because I know I can walk straight to an item I want, know where it's at, and walk straight out. I'm good. But if I go somewhere I'm not used to, it messes with my mind. It's changed. I'm not comfortable. Amen? So I like to have things the same way, but every once in a while, I will try something different. Most of the time, it's at the hands of my wife. She'll tell me, just try it. Just try it. Just try it. Just do it different this time and see if you like it. And most of the time, I'll end up being happy that I made that change. When I go to certain places to eat, and I'll say sometimes, you know what? I'm going to try something new today. I've had it. I'm going to try something new. And most of the time, I'm happy I did. And so I've learned through time that sometimes change can be good. If you step out and say, you know what, I'm going to do something different today, the results that you get today is going to be different, and you may like it. You may be happy that you made that change. There may be times you change that you're not happy with the change, the results. But guess what? You learned, and now you know not to make that change. You know to go the other way. But I've learned to grow. I've learned to do better. I've learned to make changes for the better by experiencing change. See, that's what God does in our life. See, a lot of times we want to stay in our bubble and we want to stay in our own little comfort zone. And we don't want God really messing with our lives, but that's what God has to do in order for us to grow. In order for you to get to where you want to be spiritually, to get to that level of life that you want to live in the kingdom, you have to allow God to change your mind, to change your heart. Because you're never going to be the man of God or the woman of God that you're supposed to be unless you allow God to change things in your life. So those things that you go through, those trials that you go through, it's not always the enemy putting you through those things. Sometimes it's God moving you through. Sometimes it's God saying, you know what, in order for you to be able to minister to this person, in order for you to go and witness to this person and teach a Bible study to this person, you first need to experience this change so you know. Because you don't really understand what they're going through until you can understand it for yourself. And so we have to experience change in our life. And so we have to be able to say, God, here I am, change me. If we don't have that and we don't surrender that to God, you're never going to be what you're supposed to be in the kingdom. Yes, you can still be saved. Yes, you can still be a Christian. You can still do something for God, but you're not going to be who you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to be. Amen? Every once in a while, we have to allow God to do something in our life. And if we never make the decision to allow our lives to change, then simply nothing is going to change. You're going to be the same place all the time. So there's two things today I want to bring out that are associated with change in our lives. The first thing is fear of change. Fear of change. You see what is changing and it causes fear in your life, in your mind. Anyone else been there? Just the unknown? I know times that I've been given a pink slip or laid off at work. That change caused fear in my heart because I didn't know what I was going to be doing next week. I didn't know what I was going to be doing the week after that. Where was my money going to come from? How was I going to pay my bills? How was I going to put food on my table? I can tell you by my own testimony that I've never had to deal with that because God always provided, because I put the trust in Him. I remember when I left the sheriff's office, I resigned at 10:30 in the morning. And I did not have anything lined up. I had no job waiting for me. I did not know what I was going to do, but I knew it was the will of God and it was what I was supposed to do. Me and my wife prayed about it, and we had peace about it. So I resigned at 10:30 in the morning. I drove from Newport Richey here to Lakeland, and I sat in Lakeland in a parking lot and says, God, I have to have a job today. The first place I went, I filled out an application. They hired me on the spot. God answers. God will always provide if you trust in Him. See, too many times we don't really put our trust in Him. We don't put our faith in Him. We don't give Him a chance to work. If we don't allow Him into our bubble, He's never going to be able to change us. We have to allow Him to change us. Woodrow Wilson gave a very wise warning. If you want to make enemies, try to change something. Try to change something. Amen. Go into somebody's house and walk up to their picture wall or where they have all their ornaments or, you know, little things. A lot of people have set out snowmen or little houses during these Christmas time, you know, the little winter houses that light up. Walk into someone's house and start moving that stuff around. Just watch what happens. You're going to rough their feathers up a little bit. You're going to make them uncomfortable or even mad if you start changing things in their life. Get in someone's car and start moving their seat back, you know, all the way and up a little bit and up and down and move all their mirrors around and then let them get in the car. See how frustrated they get. Who was in my car? Why did they do this? I like every once in a while, the people I know, just fun, I'll walk by their car and I'll just on the outside just push their mirrors in. Just for the fun of it. Just to sit back, see them get in the car and be like, just, I like practical jokes. If you like practical jokes, I will get you back. Most of the time, it'll be worse than what you gave. My wife always tells everybody, she doesn't like practical jokes, and the reason why is because I've given her too many, and she's scared of them now. But I like doing things like that, just to mess with people, you know, just to mess with their mind. And so if you want to make enemies, change something. And when I read this, it brought to mind something that was said in a training seminar that we just recently went to. Brother Johns, he was talking to us about change, and it was kind of hilarious, but it was a serious teaching session at the same time. And he was talking about taking over a church as a new pastor. And he was talking about how going into a church, you don't want to change things right away. Because if you just walk into a church as a new pastor and you start moving things around and start changing things, you're going to make someone mad somehow. You're going to offend somebody. Because things have been that way for a long time, and you don't know why they're that way. And someone may say, hey, I did that, and why are you moving it? You shouldn't move that. There's nothing wrong with it. So he's like, you have to be careful about what you change. And so advice was given to him by someone about moving the piano of the church. And he says, you know, I want to move the piano. And it says, well, you can't do that. If you move the piano, someone is going to get offended. Someone's going to get mad. You have to give it time. And so the advice was given to him, if you want to move the piano, go ahead and move it. But only do it 1 inch a year. Only move it 1 inch a year. And by doing that slow process, that slow move, by then they'll be used to it and they'll say, hey, has it always been there? In their mind, that's where the piano was always been. And it won't be a difference. And I was talking about it, I'm like, you know, that's really serious and that's really truthful. But at the same time, it's kind of comical. And I thought about it and I'm like, you know, we should come to church and we should do that to Sister McGuire. Every Sunday, we should take the piano and just move it an inch in one direction. And just see how long it takes until she realizes that it's been moved and see what happens. Needless to say, I chickened out. I haven't touched the piano. I live in fear, I think, a little bit of doing that. Amen? She's not in here, so I can talk about it. But it messes with our bubble when we do stuff like that, when we change things, when people change stuff in our life. So we have to be careful about what is done and how it is done sometimes. When I was in school, we had a teacher that would go crazy if we moved stuff. And I like practical jokes, and I've always been this way. And so we would come into class, and the teacher would be outside, you know, greeting everybody as they came in the door. And so we understood we had a window of about 5 minutes to do something. And so always one of us, we would never be the same person, but we would walk up to her desk because she was OCD, And we would move everything on her desk. Just move it around and change it around. And every morning she would come in and she would just go crazy because everything on her desk was moved. And it would always be a different person that does it so that one person wouldn't get in trouble. But we would mess with her just to get her and see what would happen to change. And so it's clear to see that for some people, change is threatening. Amen? Some of us, it's not. Some of us embrace change, but some of us is threatening. I'm one of those. It's hard for change. I fear a little bit sometimes with change. And so we have to let God get us over that. Uncertainty on some things. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, we should not be fearful of change if we truly believe the Word of God and what it says. If we embrace the Word of God and believe the words that are written in there, we should not fear it. Change can be good in our life. Change can sometimes be exactly what the doctor ordered for us. Amen. You're going through life and you just got struggles and you got things going on. Sometimes change is exactly what you need. Sometimes you need a change. Sometimes change can be you moving to a different location. Sometimes change can be moving to a different job. Sometimes change can be as simple as getting a different pillow on your bed so you sleep better. Amen? It doesn't matter, big or small. Sometimes change can be good in your life. But change can also change some things. And we have to accept that change. Change can create fear in individuals. It can in your marriage and your businesses. It can create fear in those areas and sometimes even church. I know churches where a pastor has passed away and fear just struck the congregation because they didn't know what would happen now. What are we going to do now? Our man of God is gone. And simply, it was God moving things in order for a revival to happen and change would come in and they would embrace it. Even the people in Christ's day who were looking and expecting the promised Messiah, they didn't accept him because of change. When you read the scriptures, you see that a lot of people, they didn't accept Jesus for who he was. They prayed every day and studied for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. They knew he's going to come any day. They would wait morning and night just saying, "The Messiah is coming. We know he's coming. It's just a matter of time." And yet here the Messiah was standing right in front of them. Proof by signs and wonders, backed up by scripture and prophecy. And they wouldn't accept it because it was change. And even though they were waiting for change, when it was there, they didn't want the change. And so they didn't accept it. Amen. I don't want to get to the place where I'm so desperate for something to happen in my life, and I come to church and come to the altar and say, "God, I want you to move in my life and change something in my life," but then I don't allow him to do it because I'm afraid of being moved. Amen. So many times that happens to people. They come into church and they want something from God, but they just fully do not give their life to him. They don't allow God to move. They feel God nudging them. They feel God pressing in their heart and in their mind, and they get fearful and they back away. They just, I can't do it right now. Maybe it's some things that you just can't let go of. You're just holding on to a little bit too tight. Just that fear of letting go. But God is just right there waiting, saying, "I have your answer right here." But we're too fearful to allow God to do that change, even though we're waiting on it. Amen. As a result, those people that were waiting for the Messiah, they missed out on the greatest experience they would ever have. Instead of 120 or around 120 in the upper room, it could have been thousands in the upper room. It might not have even been an upper room. There could have been so many people that it was just out in the street when the Holy Ghost fell. If they would have accepted change, if they would have accepted the will of God and accepted the things that were happening in their life, how much greater that experience could have been if they would experience change and allow God to move on them. Amen? I always say revivals can have two options when we have them. We can have revival, and we can see a move of God and see a few filled with the Holy Ghost, a few baptized. Or we can have change come in and we can get in one accord and allow God to come in and fully move freely and have a great move of God with a lot of getting the Holy Ghost and a lot of people getting baptized. See, that's in our hands of change. That's in our wheelhouse of what we want and what we expect from God. but we have to allow change to happen. We could all sit here this morning for hours and tell stories about what God has put us through in situations and how we did not understand the situations or see an end to it. You ever been there? Maybe it's this morning you're going through something and you just don't see an end to it. You don't see a way over that mountain or a way around that mountain. That may be you today. And I say many times, I wish I always knew the plan of God. I even said it this morning in praying in my personal life. Just, God, I really wish I knew what your will was for the future. I wish I had clear understanding. I have a vague understanding of what God wants to do, but man, I really wish I knew what your timing was. Amen? I really wish I just knew and had understanding, because change is hard. It's hard sometimes. And I wish I knew, because life would be a little bit more easier if that crystal ball really worked and I could look and say, God, well, I know December this next year is where I'm going to be. I know this is what's going to happen. I know I'm going to face this trial in January next year, so I'm good now. I can prepare for that one in January, but that's not life. Life is unexpected. We have to just trust God for the change and allow Him to change. Amen? But if we seek God in our confusion, He can help us make it through every area. But we have to seek God and trust in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." So this morning I ask you, are you confused? Do you have confusion in your heart? You shouldn't, because that is not from God. God is not the author of that confusion. That's not saying you're in sin. That's just saying God is not causing that. The reason is that God is not the author of confusion because God gives peace. God gives understanding. And so instead of being confused about a situation, we have to simply say, God, I understand you are doing something in my life, and I'm going to trust in you that your will is going to be done. I'm going to trust that whatever this process is and whatever the result is of this situation, it was going to be what your purpose was, and it's going to be accomplished. We have to have that understanding. 2 Corinthians, first was fear of change. The second one is some things in our life have to end, and some things have to die. For change, some things have to end, and some things have to die in our life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Everybody say, new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things. The old you. The old things that you did. The old past that you had. They're passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you truly live for God, there is only one absolute in your life. You will experience change if you're truly seeking the will of God. And the great thing about allowing God to bring change into your life is that once God takes control, you're going to see new things. You're not only going to see new things, but you're going to see things in a new way. You're going to have a different eyes. You're going to have a different pair of glasses that you're looking through in your life. Things aren't going to look the same. Those little hills, those mountains that you were looking at that were so big through the eyes of God are just going to be little hills that you can cross over. Man, those big oceans that looks like of trials that you can't get across is just become a little puddle or a little river or stream that you can cross when you're looking through the eyes of God. Amen. Things will look new in our life. The blessings are going to come, and you're going to see those blessings with new eyes. The new perspective that you're going to have is going to catapult you into a new area of spiritual reality. Amen. I would say a lot of times that you can come to church and you can see things as they are, or you can see things through the eyes of God. When we have altar call, you can see people up here just standing and they're just raising their hands. Or you can see a river of blood flowing through this place of God just washing away sins. Of God just touching people and healing power flowing through this altar. It all depends which eyes you're looking through. Because if you're looking through the eyes of God and you look at this altar and you look at the people that are praying this altar with the eyes of God, and you're saying, God, you're moving and you're doing something, and you just jump up there in it and you just get right in the middle of it, God can bless you right in the middle of it. Amen. You want to see miracles? Get it with the eyes of God. Start looking through the eyes of God of what He is doing. Start seeing the move of the Spirit in this place through the eyes of God for what He is doing. Amen. Come into this place knowing that the Spirit of God is blowing through this house. Amen. If you come into this place just thinking it's just a normal service, it's just Going to sing some songs, yep, and just a couple goosebumps. You're never going to get anything. You're never going to experience change. But if you come into this place knowing and understanding that the power of God is in this place and that it can move on you, anything is possible in your life. Amen. I've been in services where the Spirit was so thick, the presence of God was so thick, it was almost like you could feel it in the air. Just moving through, you could feel it almost like a mist just moving through the place. Amen. I've been in services where the presence of God and the glory of God was so thick and present that you could literally see a cloud over the congregation come in. Amen. As something, it's a God thing. But it's if you look through the eyes of Christ. You have to be looking with your spiritual eyes, saying, God, what are you doing? Let me see your glory. You see, if we're in Christ and we're buried in Christ in baptism, that is when the change really happens. My text this morning, it's a good day to die. I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm not talking about going and dying physically, but I'm talking about mentally. I'm talking about your mind, your heart, having a spiritual death in your life, just in your mind, of dying out to yourself. Remember, the scripture says, old things are passed away. Amen? Some things have to pass away in our life. Some things have to be just the end in our life. We have to let it go in our life. Your sins have to be washed away. See, in baptism, that is what happens, a transformation in baptism. Amen. When we go down in the name of Jesus in that water and we are buried in His name in the water, we come up as a new person. We come up as a new creation in our life. Everything is washed away. Your past is covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So first, there has to be a death in your life if you really want to experience change. If you really want God to do something, there first has to be a death. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Again, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, if we are baptized in His likeness, buried like He was in the water, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. When we come up out of that water, we're going to be new. We're going to be resurrected from our old life. We were dead to our old life now, and we're now resurrected new spiritually in our life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Your past is gone. The body of sin, everything that was there, it is old and passed away. It is destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. You want change in your life? You want freedom in your life? You first have to start by letting your old man die out. You have to get rid of your old life, your past, the things that were holding you back, the things that were keeping you away from God and keeping your walk from God from where it was supposed to be. We have to get rid of those things. And when we die out to those things of our old past and our old life, then the scripture says we can be free from sin. Amen. You want a life of freedom? You want a life feeling like you know you have freedom? You don't feel like you're chained down? You don't feel like you're shackled down? Amen. You have to die out to yourself and give your life to God. You have to let Him have complete control. Amen. When we go down in the water in Jesus' name, we are buried in the likeness of Jesus, His death and burial and resurrection. And when we come up out of the water, it is like His resurrection of new life. We are a new creation. Amen. A new creation. The bonds of sin are destroyed and you are a new creature. See, I don't have to stay the way I am. Simply put, the way I was, the things that I used to do, the places I used to go, the things I used to say, the things I used to be involved in, I don't have to stay there anymore. It's a choice. I don't have to stay there anymore. I don't have to be the person I was anymore. I don't have to live in the depression that I had anymore. I can be free from that. I can choose to be free from that and let God take control of it. I don't have to be bound by sin anymore, the things that had me, because I gave God control. I let Him have control. There's a change that happens in a person's life when you get baptized. Amen. See, God's going to mold us when you let Him have control. He's going to teach you when you let Him have control. He's going to give you something to encourage you when you allow Him to have control. You're going to have something in your life to give you strength when you don't have control of yourself, when you give it to God. There's times when you're weak and weary and you don't know how you're going to make it through the day because of the things you're going through. That's where the strength of God comes in, when you let Him have control. He'll give you healing inside and out. Amen? Anyone need healing in your mind? Just here today, and you're just like, God, I just need you to touch my mind. God can give that today. So you had the choice when we come into this place today to walk out of here the same way you came or to get changed. That's in your choice, in your hands. It's craziness to continue to do the same thing and think something is going to happen. That's the definition of crazy. To do the same thing over and over again and wish for change. It's just not going to happen. I've heard people say, I'm going to change, but then nothing changes in their life. They make that commitment every year for something to change, but then nothing happens. But if we truly want genuine change in our life, we have to allow some things to die in our life. We have to have a death in our life. Why not make a decision today to start with that? Why not make a change today to do something different that you've done before? To do something different today in a service that you don't usually do. Amen. We come into this place and you want change, but you never come down to the altar and allow God to change you. You come into this place wanting change, but you never lift your hands and surrender to God and say, God, work it out for me today. I'm giving you control. We want God to give healing to our bodies, but we never come down and let the elders anoint us and pray for us, so we never experience healing. We never get healing in the mind because we never come down and say, God, heal me, and He doesn't give that healing because you never allow change. Amen. I want change in my life this morning. I know there's things that have to happen in my life for me to grow better and for me to grow stronger, and so I'm not going to leave this place until I get what I need, until I get an answer from God, until I experience what I have that God has waiting for me. Amen? We want change. We say it all the time, we want change. And we know that prayer changes things, and we'll even admit that prayer changes things, but we don't allow it to happen in our own life. Saying it and doing it is just two different things. I mean, it's just reality this morning. I understand that. It's easy to say something. It's a lot harder to put it into implementation. Amen? I've been there. It's hard to come down to the altar sometimes and get prayer. I've been there sometimes where I just like, you know what? I really need to go down to get prayed for. Just my pride or something just won't let me give in. Change is hard. But if you want something, if you need something from God, you're going to have to make a change today. You're going to have to make a decision today. Change must happen in our life. For to live is to grow, and to grow is to change. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transform means to undergo a change in the structure, its genetic modification. When you look at a caterpillar and how a caterpillar is formed, it starts off as something that is on the ground, something that is just crawling in the dirt. It is not very good. It is something that is weak. It is something that can be destroyed very easily and picked off by a predator. But eventually in that life of that caterpillar, it becomes something different. It wraps up in that cocoon and it experiences a change. The molecules and the genetic structure of that caterpillar changes into something beautiful over time, and it becomes out as a beautiful butterfly. It is now something that, instead of being stuck on the ground, it can fly above the ground. It can fly above the predators that it was fearful of sometimes. It can fly above the things that used to hold it down. It's no longer crawling in the dirt, but it is something beautiful that can soar. And see, that's our lives sometimes. And I just got to ask you today a simple question. Have you given your life to God? Have you experienced change in your life where you've allowed God to change you? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name in the water, went down in the burial of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced change of receiving the Holy Ghost in your life? Because if you haven't, then you haven't really experienced change. Amen? So today I ask you, have you experienced that? Because if you got some things in your life that you want changed, some things that you want to go differently, I'm telling you, don't leave this place today until you go down in the water today. Until you've been baptized in Jesus' name. Until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Change has not happened. You can have it today. So I encourage you today and I challenge you today, what will be your decision? We go into this second service. We're going to have worship. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have a chance for you to lift your hands to God and give Him praise. You don't even have to wait till the altar call. Amen? You can get the Holy Ghost at any point during the service. During the first song as we sing, you can come down and you can raise your hands and you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can come down and experience change whenever you need it. But it's in your wheelhouse today of whether you want to experience that change. If you leave here the same way you came today, it's your choice. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to get what I can get from God today. Whatever He has for me today, I'm going to get it as much as I can. I'm going to tell God as soon as the service starts, I'm going to tell God, whatever you have. God, whatever you have for me today, I want it. God, whatever change you want to make in my life today, God, I ask you, let it be done. God, because I want to grow. God, I want things to change in my life. I want you to be the center, is what Pastor's been talking about. I want Him to take control of my life, not me. I don't want to be in charge of my thoughts. I don't want to be in charge of my actions. I want God's will to be done. I want His purpose to be done in my life. Amen. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight. And so as I close right now, stand with me. I just wonder if you would just real quick think about some weights in your life. Think about some things that are in your mind right now that are going on in your life. And you just say, God, I really need this to change. I really need this to change. Amen? Do you got some things? Do you have some things in your mind that you can say, God, I would like these things to change. I would like this circumstance to change in my life. I would like something on my job to change. I would like something in my family to change. Amen? I just want us right now, real quick, just to lift our hands and just release it to God. Because I believe in our second service, if you release it to God, God is going to change it. Amen? Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, Lord, we lift these things to you. God, we release them to you right now. God, that you know our needs. You know the things that need to change in our hearts, the things that need to change in our mind. God, we just release it to you and say, God, change it in the name of Jesus. God, change my mindset. Change my heart, the way I think, the way I speak, God. Lord, change the way I live my life right now. God, I pray, Lord, if there's something that I need to do, Lord, let it be on my mind, Lord. Let it be on my heart, God. But I release it to you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I submit myself to you. God, I submit my heart to you right now. God, in this service, God, Lord, let it happen in my life. Let it change. Let it be done, Lord. Let us be new in our mind, and hallelujah, Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would release the Holy Ghost in this service. God, Lord, if there's anyone that needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus, God, if there's someone that needs the Holy Ghost in this house, God, I pray that you would release it on them, Lord, today. God, encourage them right now. God, let them have understanding right now of your word. God, I ask it in the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise. We give you glory, God, and we give you honor, Lord, knowing that your will is going to be accomplished in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and give Him praise for it. God, we thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you, God. We give you praise for it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe something's going to change today. There's going to be some mindsets that are changed today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go into our second service with the mindset expecting something to happen. Amen. Refreshments are in the back. Please meet and greet somebody. Tell them you love them. Even if you don't, tell them anyways.